If you would, let's open up your Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll have a word of prayer before we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day of life, dear Lord. We're thankful for, again, another opportunity to be in the house of God. Lord, we're thankful for the desire that we have to be here, dear Lord. Thankful for the privilege to sit under the sound of the gospel. Thankful for the privilege to be able to have the word of God in our language, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us and your love and your mercy, your kindness, your patience, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for all these things. We're thankful that we've experienced all these things, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we want to worship you. We want to serve you. We want to give you praise. And Lord, we want to be faithful, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be obedient to you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, you tell us in your word it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And Lord, we're thankful that we can obey and it's our desire. So Lord, we ask you to be with us as we look into the word of God again this evening. We ask you to help each and every one of us to receive that portion of the word that you have for us. And Lord, just help us to grow. Help us to gain stronger ground, dear Heavenly Father, to gain more stability and our walk with you, dear Lord, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Anoint me, anoint the word, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read this, try to read this a little slow, and sometimes I do read them slower, but there's a lot in these verses, and sometimes I think some of these verses, there's a lot, really you just can't bring all the thoughts in these couple verses here, but they're kind of deep. And Paul's dealing with people here. But we're going to start picking, we're going to pick up in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul's dealing with it. Like I say, I might make some comments here. Paul's dealing with them, and obviously they're having some debate over resurrection. And Paul says, he says, we preach that Christ rose from the dead, and that some of you among you say there is no resurrection. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So he's asking questions here. He's presenting some things. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? A lot of truth in that. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. For if so be that the dead raise not, for if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ perish. Verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. As I read through these, there are just so many thoughts and every single verse we can glean something from, and just look at it and might want to write them down and go home and think about them. Now, I don't believe we live in a time where we're worried about the resurrection. I don't believe we argue or debate with people whether he rose from the dead and things like that. There may be some people today, you know, but probably back here, there was a time that Paul was battling this. And it seemed like this was an issue with the resurrection. And he's telling them about some of them. He says some of them have seen. If you go back up, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but if you go back up in verse 4 through 7, Paul is telling him many people have seen Jesus. Not only do we believe that he's risen from the dead, but many people have also seen him. The disciples have seen him. Many people, and you go into verse 6 there, reading verse 6, after that he is seen. He said in verse 5, there's some different ones, the 12 have seen him. In verse 6, after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. You know, when if I see something, and maybe the day say later you see something, and somebody can debate that. Well, we don't know if you're real or right or they're right, but 500 people at once, not only the 12 or the disciples that were there then, they also seen these. But he says, and after that we've seen about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So he says, Paul's dealing with the resurrection, whether they believe in it or not, and the debate of it. So Paul says there's many people that seen Christ rise from the dead. They seen him. They talked to him. They witnessed that he had risen from the dead. And even those many that had seen him, they're still alive today. You can still go see him. You know, and I think about what a blessing that would have been for them to see that. We'll get in. I don't want to jump too ahead of my message here. But that would have been a major blessing, I feel, to see Jesus after they seen him crucified. And when we see this, he says there that some have already passed, some have already gone on in verse 6, but some have fallen asleep. So their witnesses are not valid right now like the ones that are still alive. You know, as time goes on, even witnesses of things, some things fade. You know, we just passed 9/11. September here, and it's almost hard to believe it's been, 22 years? 22 years since that happened. I imagine every one of us in this room, I guess you can still remember the exact place and day and time, the exact moment that happened. I was working down in Dorsey, and we had a radio on in. I remember, just like that. I remember when it came on, and we're like, it was something different. Something terrible had happened. And you remember. But 20-some years have passed. And not only that, not only some of those that have gone, some of them that have witnessed that and remember that, they've passed. But even the younger generation that weren't alive at that time, they don't remember that. They don't know of that thing. So he's trying to let them know that there are still some people that are still around at his time, at this time, that have witnessed the resurrection, have seen him. And sometimes when we think about there isn't witnesses like that, it can be difficult for people to believe, for people to have more of a comprehension there of what happened. But Paul is saying here in these verses, as we go on down to verse, what I read from verse 12 through verse 20, and like I said, you can go home and read them. I don't want to pick out, I almost can pick out every single verse and bring some thoughts on them. But Paul is indicating here, he says that he is putting all his trust, all his faith, everything that he believes in, his stock, his faith, everything in his life, he is putting and believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's living for that. Paul didn't necessarily see it. He had heard him. He did go on. I think you go on down there, like he's talked about the different ones. I think it did even say in verse 8 there. It does say, after he says these different ones have seen him in first, he says, and last of all, he was seen also of me. I don't know necessarily Paul didn't see Jesus physically, but he spoke to him in an audibly way. But anyway, those people seen him crucified, they seen him put on a cross, they seen him buried, and they seen him resurrect again. And Paul says, that's where my faith is. That's where my anchor is. That's where my hope and my trust and everything in my life, my salvation, my hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, as I said, in a few more months, we're going to look at Christmas here. And we thank God for the story of the Christmas story, for Jesus being born of a virgin, and that story there. And it's wonderful. It's a blessing. We even thank God for the crucifixion. We thank God that he was willingly to go to the cross, and he went to the cross, and he bore the cross, and he died on the cross, but he was put in the grave. But if it wasn't for the resurrection, we don't have a gospel. If Christ didn't rise, and that's what Paul is getting into in these verses of Scripture, in verse 14, I believe he says, and if Christ be not risen, what's no use for us to preach? We have no hope, we have no anchor, we have no trust, we have no vision, we have no future. If Christ was not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is of no value. What are you living for?
You say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God Jesus Christ saved. But what are you living for? I'm living for the resurrection of this body, of this soul. When this, as we spoke of this morning, when this body goes back to the earth, I'm living for the resurrection through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm living for. I'm living for eternal life one day. I'm living that one day I'll be able to live all for all eternity in another form of whatever that form may be, by the grace of God, that we'll never die again. We'll never have pain. We'll never have suffering or torment, no sin. But he says, if we don't believe that Jesus Christ had risen, then our preaching's in vain. Our faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses. You know, the world already thinks we're fools. I'm a Christian. You're a fool. Why? Because they really don't believe in the resurrection. They really have no hope and faith in the resurrection. They somehow may have been taught it and have a little bit of a head knowledge because they were taught it, but they don't truly believe. So you and I, we're fools to the world. We're fools to the things of this world. And we're going to read here in the verse of scripture that Paul goes on there. I mean, it's been well over 2,000 years since Christ died. No more witnesses left. No one has seen him physically and actually heard him as Paul did on the road to Damascus audibly. I know I've said myself, I've heard the Lord speak to me almost as an audible voice, but I've never touched him. I've never felt him like Thomas did. He says, Lord, I won't believe until I touch him and I see the marks in his body. I won't believe that. It's been 2,000 years. But I thank God, I'm telling you this evening, by the grace of God, the Bible teaches and Paul teaches and the disciples teach us that he was crucified and in 3 days he lived. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. I believe that. I've never spoken to a single soul that has ever witnessed that. Never. An angel hasn't came back. You know, I've always said sometimes I think, well, what would heaven be like? This is my mind. If it ever happens, that's fine. It would be interesting to me to now have a different vision, a different understanding of life and the spiritual things being in heaven, to watch from the very creation. I'd love to see the creation. I'd love, like a big movie screen. God says, I'm going to show you how I created the world. I'm going to just show you how I put the earth together and divided the seas and lands and made the animals and day and night and the moon and the stars. And just to watch that. And not only just to see that happening, but have the understanding that why God did it in its fullness. And to create Adam and Eve and go all the way down through time and things and come down. And as he come down through the Old Testament to have a greater understanding, as we talked of, I believe, Wednesday or whatever the other, last week. So we talked about shadows and types of things of the Old Testament for the New Testament to see how God brought them about to see what they're like today. I like to see that. I think it would be interesting. But I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ willingly went to a cross. Sometimes in preaching you say words. Sometimes I say they put him on a cross. They never put Jesus on a cross. Jesus willingly allowed his body to be put on the cross. He died. He willingly died. He didn't have to. He didn't have to stay there. He had power to come off of that cross. They mocked him and said, if you're really the Son of God, come off the cross. And even the thieves said, get us off too. He had power. He could have come off. But he stayed there for you and I. And then he died. He gave up the ghost. He died. And they put him in a tomb. And they put a stone in front of that tomb and sealed that tomb. And they put guards over front of that tomb, so nobody would come in and steal the body. But it didn't matter. All that was of no avail. On day 3, the angels of the Lord came down and rolled that stone back, and he was alive. And I thank God I believe that today. And because of his resurrection, we can have confidence and faith that one day when these old bodies lay down, we'll be resurrected through Jesus Christ. What do you believe this evening? Maybe, as I said, sometimes we can believe with a head knowledge. We can believe certain things. I like to look up some things, different angles that commentaries look at. And Adam Clark, this is one that he did. Let me get the right one here. So as somehow I missed the verse here. So in verse 19, and as I made a comment a little bit ago, in verse 19, as Paul goes down through there and he talks about in 17, we'll read verse 17, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Yea, are ye yet in your sins? Then they also which are fallen asleep, those that have already passed away, those already have that were saved and have confidence in Jesus Christ, those that had already fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They're done. There's a lot of saints that have gone on to their reward. We trust they've made their reward. Would it be a blessing? What would you think to see one of them walk through that door? Oh, Sister Hawk walked through that door. I don't know why it was this way one time. When the cheese used to live over there, I guess Sister Hawk, or Brother Hawk had done passed. And she come walking down the street, and she was strong then. She wasn't on a cane or anything. And it's just how she walked. It was just how she walked. I watched her walk. You know, she had her Bible and things. It was just, it was for some reason, that image that day has been burned in my mind, for whatever reason. But imagine she came through that door. Imagine some of the other saints walk through that door. We would be shocked. We would be probably afraid. But they're alive somewhere in the grace of heaven. And he says there in verse 18, they which fall asleep in Christ, they perish. Thank God they didn't perish. And he goes into verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. The world thinks you and I are the most miserable people in the world. What hope? Why do you have no enjoyment in this life? Well, little do they know that's not true, but thank God, but I have a hope for an afterlife. I have a hope. So Adam Clark brings in verse 19 here, he says here, he kind of gives a little bit of an idea of what Paul's referring to in this verse. He goes, it would be better to translate the point, this verse as follows. And if in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are more to be pitied than all men. That's true. If this is all we have, if we don't have anything, if Christ never arose from the dead, we have no hope in the resurrection, we're of all men most pitied. If in this life we have no other hope and confidence but in Christ, and if he be still dead and not risen, we are more to be pitied than any other man. We are sadly deceived. That's what the world looks at. That's what the world thinks about you and I. That's what they think about you and I. They pity us because they don't see the resurrection. But thank God, and Lord help us to one day be able to let them know that by the grace of God, this is a wonderful salvation. Amen. And that salvation is because Jesus arose from the dead. And by the grace of God, when we lay down our lives in this world, we have an afterlife after this by the grace of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, I think is a very easy and familiar verse of scripture to understand. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends of their ways are death. Believe in Christ takes faith. To believe in Jesus Christ, it takes faith. Over in Romans it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To believe that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, it takes faith. Now, we mentioned this in recent preaching here not too long ago. Remember when the maybe it was Wednesday we were talking about, remember when the wise men came to Herod there and he said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And Herod called all his wise men and different ones up. He goes, where is he born? Or no, I'm sorry, that's not what I'm looking at. That's not the thought I'm looking at. So I'm thinking about when Jesus did die on the cross and they buried him there in the tomb and whatever the Jews and all, they came. And they remember that Jesus taught that in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And they said, this deceiver, the disciples may come and steal him away. So sometimes people hear and sometimes people believe, but they don't accept it as faith. Jesus says, Paul says over in Romans, he says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's many people in the world, there is a way that seems right unto a man. You know, this word way, and in the world's eyes, this is the most foolish way there can be. What do you have to look for? And that's what we read back over there in 19. If in this life I have hope in Christ, I am of all men most miserable. Well, that may be true in the ways seem right in the men, but the ways therein bring death. Faith, when we think of faith to believe in Jesus Christ as the resurrection, faith in believing in something when you don't see or understand. He told Thomas one time, he said, Thomas, you believe me because you see. I've heard ministers and myself and Anita, how many people, if Jesus came to them right now today and sat and spoke to them, they still wouldn't believe him. If he came back and walked among us today and taught them and did miracles. See, he did all kinds of miracles. And there's a verse in the Bible, I didn't look it up, but Jesus says, I would rather that you believe in the miracles than the food. He goes, you follow me because I feed you. You follow me because of these things, but I'd rather you at least believe because of the miracles. But they didn't believe in Jesus Christ for either or. They just wanted to be fed. They wanted their needs to be met. It would be the same way today. If he came here today and he fed 5,000 or whatever, 1,000 or 100, they would follow him for that purpose, not because he's the Christ. They didn't understand. They didn't understand back there, and they don't understand today. Faith to believe in something when you don't understand or see or have a vision of things. There is a way that seems right. The natural man wants nothing to do with the things of God. We spoke a little bit of that this morning. This man, this natural body, this human body, wants absolutely nothing to do with the things of God. Amen. Not one thing. It could care less if we read. It could care less if we prayed. It could care less if we were in church. It could care less about anything. It's the spiritual. It's the spiritual man to believe in the resurrection of Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I thank God for some verses that we can preach on and we can back them up with certain verses. The natural man receiveth nothing of the spiritual things of God. They are foolishness to him. And I've made that mention over and over tonight. What the world looks at you and I doing this evening, and as Paul was dealing with it back here in Corinthians and all, trying to get him to understand that the resurrection is Christ, is our whole theme of being saved. Our hope, our desire, our goal in life, because of the resurrection of Christ, we can be saved and have a resurrection ourselves. The natural man doesn't care about the spiritual things. They are foolishness. Neither can they know them. I thank God for the Spirit of God that can teach us some things, that can reveal the Spirit to us. If you believe in the resurrection of Christ, it has nothing to do that you learned it. It has nothing to do that I read it and I just believed it. It took the power of God to get you and I to believe that. People can read it. Now, when I say that, just like I said this morning, seek ye the kingdom of God first, I can say I believe in the resurrection of Christ. But if you really, truly believe in it, then you're going to put your efforts into living that way for him. But many people don't. He teaches us that we need to bring this body under. You know, there is a very small percentage of people in the sports world that really bring this body under subjection to what they want. I think it's amazing some of the people, what some people go through to achieve a particular goal in sports or whatever they try to do for the benefit of this world. They will bring this body into subjection, whether it's exercise, whether it's eating, whether it's their mind, they train their mind to learn or whatever. They will bring this body under that rule. But how many people will bring their body under subjection to Jesus Christ? Amen. It takes that for us to do that. Even though we get saved, we're sanctified, we're living for the God, it still takes a part of something on our part to still live for God. It still takes a part of us to work to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's go to back up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Enter into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and leadeth into destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." How many people believe in the resurrection? I believe most people believe that you just live and die. That's it. I don't know if they may say some things. I was reading. I'll mention here in just a little bit. You remember the part when we're going to get into my message, the latter part of my message here, when Jesus went to Mary. Or Martha there, whichever one it was, and then he went and he told her, "I am the resurrection." And she says later on, I forget how it worded, and she says, I believe that you can do anything even now. And I was reading that in the commentary too, and he kind of indicated that she didn't want to basically step out on faith too great and believe that he could raise him from the dead, even though she knew he could, but she didn't want to ask that. You know, a lot of people believe in the resurrection, but they really don't have faith in it. They might believe it from a head knowledge, somebody taught them, somebody explained to them, they can maybe tell people about the resurrection, but I think in all, they believe that when they die, that's it. There's no more life. Sometimes we ask ourselves, I've asked myself, I'll do a lot of meditating sometimes and dwell and think on some things. Why is it a hard way sometimes? Let's read some verses of scriptures that Jesus gives to us. Back up another page or two to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, Jesus says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," for Christ. Verse 10, he says that. He says, "Blessed are you persecuted for righteousness' sake." Verse 11, he says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you for my sake." Because I live for Christ, because I trust in God, because I believe in the resurrection, we're persecuted. We're mocked, we're criticized and all that. And it's hard when you have your family and friends, they sit there and say, they make fun of you or don't believe in the way that we live or don't want to follow that way. Jump down to verse 21. 21 and 22, Jesus says this, "If you have heard, ye have heard, it was said of them by old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say it to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
People hate us. People don't dislike us. You've heard these things. You've talked about some things. Jumping over to verse 43. Verse 43 through 48 in the end of the chapter. Ye have heard it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what you've heard sometimes. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, to sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if he loveth them which love you, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Read earlier, it's a difficult way. It's a challenging way. It's an unusual way to be able to love your enemies, to pray for them to despitefully use you. It's difficult. Where is our hope? Where's your hope? See, a lot of times our hope gets foggy by some of these things. Just living life. They persecute you. Your enemies hate you. They talk about you. They criticize you. Your family rejects you. All these things. Jesus says there is a straight gate, a narrow way, and he says there's few going to be able to find it because of these things. Because of the persecution, because of the hardship, because of the difficult times of walking with the Lord, because this physical man doesn't want the things of God. It wants the things of the world. It wants to be with the friends. It wants to be with your family and go with all them. Because of those things, where is our hope? Paul says, of all things, my hope is in the resurrection of Christ. I'm willing to forsake all those, to be subject to the persecution, be subject to the ridicule and the things that we have to go through for the belief in the resurrection of Christ. Because of the resurrection of Christ, by the grace of God, I'll be resurrected one day also. Where's our hope? If it's not in Christ, if our hope isn't in the resurrection of Christ, your hope is in vain. Let's go to John chapter 1. John 1 verse 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump over to John 11. John chapter 11. Verse 25 and 26. This is where Jesus was dealing with Martha and talking about Lazarus. Wasn't going to read the whole account here. But in verse 25, Jesus says here, he said unto Martha here, I am the resurrection. You know, when I read this story and I read the whole account and I go through it, that part always touches my heart. The depth of what Christ is saying. Lazarus had died. He'd been dead for 4 days. Yes. Jesus intentionally waited to go after he got word that Lazarus was sick. He stayed in wherever the town he was. He stayed there for a couple more days. When he finally gets there, he had already died. They'd already had a funeral. They'd already buried him. And he gets there. And Martha's happy to see him. And back up a little bit and read this. Verse 20 maybe we'll pick up. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. At least she had enough of that faith to believe that. She believed in that. Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it to thee. Verse 23, Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. I don't know if you read it sometimes. I love how Jesus deals with people. As I said about the man that was born blind, and Jesus found him later on and talked to him. And Jesus sort of play on words somewhat, or he just wants to see where people's faith is. He allows us to go through some things. I believe in a resurrection. Well, I'm going to put you through some trials to see if that's going to hold anchor, or some you're going to get wavered some. But he says here, he says, but even now, verse 23, thy brother shall live again. Well, I know one day I'll see him in heaven, you know, that kind of thing. That's what she's thinking. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What do we believe? We believe in the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of Christ. As he went down through there, as we backed up, back to 21 and all that, when she talked and he had a conversation with her. And then in 26 there, he says, and whosoever liveth, believeth in me, and shall not die. Believeth in this? Back in the beginning of our scripture in Corinthians, Paul said there, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. What do we believe? Resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God that I believe in the resurrection. I've never talked to someone. I've never witnessed it myself. I have all kind of trials and battles and things that we have to go through. But my anchor holds in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has the power of life and death. All power. Nothing can die or live without Jesus Christ giving the okay. Nothing. If he wanted, he said there back... right before he was ready to ascend, when he was talking to the disciples, and I think it was John said, when he'd asked John, you know, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and John, or not John, Peter, and Peter says, I think referring to John, he's, what's this man going to do? And he says, if it's my desire, I'll have him to live until I come back again. They lived, Methuselah was what, 969 years old? Thank God I don't live 120, 150, 160, or 200, 300 years old. Many of them are 500. God allowed that to happen, had gave the ability for life. He told Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And Paul made a comment that without Christ being risen, our life, our faith is in vain. What do we believe? In verse 20 back there, it says, because Christ is risen. This is back in 1 Corinthians where we were at the beginning. He says, because Christ is risen, he is our first fruits. I borrowed a message some while back about having our first fruits. You know what those first fruits are? They're the ones easy to get. They're the ones that we should enjoy. They're the ones you don't have to reach for. You don't have to struggle to get up there, get a ladder to get up to the top of them. They're right here. You just pick them. They're the first fruits. They're the easy fruits that you take. They're the things that we're anchored in and the grace of God. May the Lord bless us. Do you believe in the resurrection? I believe in the resurrection because the Spirit of God has taught me and showed me this by faith. May the Lord bless you. That's what I was thought. Psalm.
Let's turn to page 161. Page 161.
Absolute sway, filled with thy spirit.